Christian greetings, everyone, to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. The website is, of course, www.remnantofgod.org. In this week's broadcast, we have a returning guest to the show, pastor and author Robert Sessler of Let There Be Light Ministries, located at lightministries.com. In this week's broadcast, we'll be discussing life after death. So, without any further ado, I would like to welcome you, my brother, to the show.
Well, thank you, Brother Nicholas. It's a pleasure to be back on.
Well, thank you for returning. You know, it was, a month ago, what we were talking about last month, what was it, the state of the dead?
And the subject of the soul.
Yeah, and the subject of the soul. And this week we're just going to be going into, I would assume, what some of the things that are happening in the world today where some people are having these life-after-death experiences. Of course, this study, of course, will show how that can't actually be true.
Yeah, that is correct. Before we actually get right into the subject of life after death, I just wanted to recap some of the material that we went over in our past two interviews on death and the soul.
Okay.
Just in case some may be listening who might have missed those two broadcasts, they can find them in the archives on your website as well as my website, but just a brief recap.
Okay.
On the subject of death, we learned that God tells us in His Word that death is just like being asleep. We found that when we die, the Bible says that we no longer have any thoughts or mental processes. This was recorded in Psalms 146, verse 4. We also discovered that we do not ascend into heaven or see anyone else after we die while we're in the grave. This was found recorded in Isaiah chapter 38, verses 10 and 11. We also found that we do not even see our friends or loved ones coming to our grave to pay us respect. This is recorded in Job 14, verses 10 and 21. We also learned from Psalms 88, verses 10 through 12, and Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, that after we die, we do not learn any knowledge, whether past, present, or future.
Mm-hmm.
And just as Christ told us in John 11, verses 11 to 14, and Matthew 27:52, that after we die, we are just resting in a peaceful sleep.
Yes.
Those who have died really do not know anything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly what we're told in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Now we also learned that all ghosts, spirits, apparitions, such as of the Virgin Mary, along with all other contacts with the so-called dead, are not really the dead person come back to life at all, but are only the spirits of devils working miracles,
mm-hmm.
we're told in Revelation 16:14, which go forth to deceive all that dwell on the earth. So that was the subject of death that we covered, and last time we covered the subject of the soul. And we learned that God tells us in His Word that the soul is made up of a body of dust plus the breath of life. In Genesis 2:7, God tells us, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So man became a living soul, he was not given a soul. We also learned that after death, our soul or spirit does not go on living, either in heaven or hell. And we found this recorded in Psalms 146, verse 4, and Psalms 104, verse 29.
Mm-hmm.
We also found that we do not reincarnate into some other creature, such as is taught in many of the pagan religions today, the theory of the endless circle of life. Because the Bible tells us that we only have one life to live, and thus only one life to lose.
Yeah, I've noticed that that theory has been evangelized, if you will, even in the world of our children, when like with the movies that come from Disney and stuff like that.
I know it's sad.
Yeah,
that you'll find this this particular lie perpetrated throughout all areas of the television, the movies, even reaching into the literature, the books, and so on, and coming from the pulpits.
Yeah.
They're not. But we're told in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that it is appointed unto men once to die. So we don't die many times, but we die once.
Mm-hmm.
We're also told in Ezekiel 18:4 and Matthew 10:28 that the soul dies and doesn't continue living. So at death, the soul dies. It is dead. It doesn't continue to go on living. And a perfect illustration of this is with a light bulb. You know, the electric current flowing into that bulb would represent the breath of life that God gave to the body of dust.
Mm-hmm.
And the light itself would represent the living soul which man became after the breath joined his body.
Yeah, that's a good way to illustrate it.
Yeah, so, you know, as we look at the light, the shining light, it is a perfect representation of God's creation of man.
Yeah.
Now, let's suppose that the light switch is turned off. What has happened? You know, the current has left the bulb just as the breath leaves the body when we die. But where's the light? Did it go up into the electric socket?
Mm.
Well, it just simply ceased to exist when the current left the bulb.
Yeah.
So then, where is the soul when the breath separates from the body at death?
Yeah.
There simply is no longer any living soul at that point, and there will not be until in the resurrection God restores the breath of life to the body.
Amen.
So all the sweet assurances that are heard at funerals about dead loved ones supposedly being in heaven are simply repetitions of Satan's first lie told to Eve in the garden.
Yeah.
Ye shall not surely die, when God said they would.
Yeah.
In fact, the portrayal of souls and disembodied spirits flying around from the body after death are not really a source of comfort to those who are grieving.
No.
But the Bible does offer true words of comfort to those who have lost loved ones. The Apostle Paul, recorded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, describes a time when the righteous dead will all be with the Lord. And then he concludes with the words, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words."
Yeah, you know, that's amazing to me, because all my life, you know, I was raised a Catholic, and we were taught, you know, like the theology of limbo or purgatory and stuff like that. And so I've run across people who are in massive grieving when they lost not only loved ones, but young ones, like children. And I ran across, this happened just recently when I came, when the Lord had brought me to the truth and regarding this and many other aspects of our faith. I ran into a woman who had lost a loved one, and she was grieving because she, you know, because it was a child, and it was like, could it be here, could it be there, wandering around in some vast landscape looking for mommy and just, you know. And I assured her in the scriptures, and I said, look, the child is not even aware they are dead. And you could just see the weight lifted off that woman's shoulders when the truth was embraced like that, because it really is words of comfort that when the time comes, the real truth, you know, the real comfort, of course, is to be with Jesus Christ at the end of all things.
Yes, amen.
You know, but until such a time, there is no limbo or purgatory or any of this other strange stuff, because it's not only the confusion thing, but it causes grief.
Yeah, yeah. You know, if you think about it, how can you have true comfort and solace in a lie?
Yeah, you can't.
But you can have true comfort and solace in the truth.
Yeah.
So God's inspired scripture does offer words of truth, which are indeed a blessing and a lasting comfort to those who have lost loved ones. And these words also reveal to us that there will indeed be life after death. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 and 13, we are told that if there is no such thing as life after death, then Jesus could not have been raised.
Mm-hmm.
So the very fact that God raised up Jesus from the dead is our assurance that we also will be raised if we should die.
Yeah.
We're told in 1 Corinthians 6:14. God hath raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power.
Mm-hmm.
We're also told in 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus. So there will be life after death because of a coming resurrection, and Jesus Christ being raised from the dead was proof of this fact.
Amen.
You know, the question may come up, what purpose does the resurrection serve? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 16 through 19, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So in other words, Paul was saying that without the resurrection, the dead in Christ will perish, and if we hope for reward only in this life, then we are of all men most miserable and pitiable.
Yeah.
In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 30 and 32, Paul states, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts of Ephesus, what advantageth me, if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So Paul, in other words, was asking, why suffer and sacrifice for Jesus if there is no reward after death? Why face persecution? We might as well eat, drink, and enjoy life, because only death ultimately faces us in the end.
Exactly.
You know, and this is exactly what the humanists believe today.
Yeah. So why not just party hardy, you know? That's the mentality of most people today.
Yeah, if there is no reward after death,
or no absolute authority,
correct, then as you say, we might as well just go out and party, because we only in this life gain our reward.
Yeah.
But the Christian life ultimately is the best life to live.
Yeah.
But it does require much sacrifice and opposition to live such a life.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is no reward after death, what is there to motivate people to make these sacrifices which God requires? So Paul goes on to tell us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
So in other words, the fact that we will be raised is what assures us our labor for the Lord is not in vain. But if there is no resurrection, why steadfastly abound in the Lord's work? But Paul assures us that since there will be a resurrection, then even death itself cannot prevent our reward from being granted to us.
Mm. Amazing.
It's a very wonderful and hopeful word.
Yes.
Now, in fact, if there is no reward after death, then there is no real justice.
Nope.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Now, there's many good people who suffer in this life just as much or possibly more than evil people.
Mm-hmm.
So that fact demands that there be a resurrection so that the righteous may be rewarded.
Yeah.
And likewise, there must be a resurrection so that the wicked can be punished.
Exactly.
There are many wicked people who prosper in this life far above the righteous.
Yep.
You know, many criminals and sinners perform their crimes, and they're not caught or punished.
Yeah. Well, it's like I've always said, it this could be their only heaven. So, it's
you know,
sad.
So if there is no resurrection and punishment after death, then there is no real justice either.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So the resurrection serves as a day of reward. Christ assures all of us. He says, thou shalt be recompensed. That means to be rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. That was in Luke 14:14.
Mm-hmm.
And he also tells us in Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So the resurrection is for the purpose of rewarding us according to our works.
Mm-hmm.
And in very plain and simple language, Jesus declared that no one will be rewarded until the resurrection takes place at his second coming.
Yeah.
So this means that none of the righteous dead have yet gone to heaven so far.
Nope, they haven't.
All are waiting in their graves for the judgment and the end of the world. You know, almost the last words of the Bible confirm this fact. In Revelation 22:12, we're told, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his works shall be." But we can understand that the righteous will be given their reward at the second coming of Christ. But what about the wicked? When will they receive their reward for all their evil deeds? We're told in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." So this tells us that the wicked are reserved somewhere until the day of judgment comes. But where are they reserved?
Yeah.
Now we're told in John 5, verses 28 and 9, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." So Jesus made it exceedingly plain that all the dead would be reserved in their graves until called forth in the resurrection to receive their reward, which is either eternal life or damnation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this makes perfect sense. Obviously, no one can receive either eternal life or punishment and damnation until after they have been judged worthy of receiving such a reward.
Exactly, yeah. Amen.
Now, justice demands that this be done in this fashion. You know, so the Bible tells us that each and every one of us are judgment bound,
mm-hmm.
and we will be judged according to our works.
Mm.
In Hebrews 9:27, we're told, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." In 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." In Ecclesiastes 12:13 and 14, we're told, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil."
Yeah.
And we are told in Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, that everyone will be gathered before Jesus to receive either eternal life or eternal punishment.
Yeah. Amen.
So each and every one of us are judgment bound, and that is a solemn thought to ponder.
You know, it's something how people just don't, you know, the way society is today, that they just don't even consider that. They don't. They look at it, you know, even the folks that consider themselves Christians in that, it's strange. I mean, it so proves that one statement that Christ made, that they'll say, "Lord, Lord, have we not done this or that in your name?" And he says, "Get away from me, I never knew you." It's like...
completely caught by surprise.
Yeah, yeah. It's just so many that are living their lives claiming to be Christians, but yet doing things that obviously say, "No, you're not."
Yes. Yeah, well, you know, brother, this shows us that words are cheap.
Yeah, amen, amen.
But it is actions, it is fruits that determine our reward.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, but the wonderful news of the Bible is that both good and bad are sleeping in their graves until resurrection day. And at that time, they are brought forth to face the judgment, after which punishments and rewards are assigned to each according to their works and their deeds. But consider how confusing it would be if rewards and punishments were now being applied to the dead.
Hmm.
What purpose would then be served by having the resurrection?
Yeah, why would he bother coming back, too?
You know, obviously, each soul would already have a determined fate.
Yeah.
The idea of some make-believe final judgment would be totally meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
But in very plain and simple language, The Word of God tells us that all the dead are resting in their graves until the judgment takes place and their rewards figured out to be given them at the resurrection.
Amen.
But this also tells us that as there will be two different kinds of rewards, such as eternal life or eternal death, so there will be two different resurrections. In Acts 24:15, we're told, "There shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust." So as there's two different resurrections, which one occurs first?
Well, pretty obvious.
1 Thessalonians 4:16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first."
First, yes.
So they get their reward first. And isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
We're also told in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and through 53, Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump."
Yeah, so some of us are going to be alive when that eastern sky splits.
Right, that's right. "For the trumpet shall sound continuing, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality."
Amen. That's going to be an amazing event. I mean, just the fact that you're going to heaven is wonderful enough for those of us that are blessed with that eternal blessing.
Yes.
But to see that change, you know, and it's not even something that would, you know, be considered. I mean, the main thing, of course, is going home to heaven, but.
And to be with the Lord forevermore.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. In His kingdom. But, man, this is going to be so different. The real meaning of life, you know, like when He first created man, they were created to be eternal beings, you know, in the Garden of Eden. His original design. You know, and we're going to go back to that.
Yes, if we're faithful to the end.
Amen.
Definitely we'll have eternal life as our reward.
Yeah.
So there is indeed hope after death. Death is not the end. There is hope in Christ.
Amen.
Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them," or the resurrected righteous dead, "in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Those Amen. Are words of comfort and solace.
Amen. Exciting.
Christ was trying to bring this point out to the followers back in His day, and also His words are recorded to benefit us today.
Mm-hmm.
In John 14:1-3, He tells us,
"Go.
Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Those are words of comfort.
Amen.
So the Bible tells us that the righteous dead are raised up to life first, and together with those righteous living on the earth, are both changed from mortal to immortality, and are caught up in the air to be forevermore with Jesus. Now many believe that Jesus will descend at the time and set up His kingdom on the earth, yet the Bible doesn't say this at all. So then what happens to those on the earth who do not go up to be with Jesus in the clouds when He comes the second time?
Well, I imagine we can probably get into that in a few minutes because we got a break coming up here. This is very interesting, and I hope those listening are being blessed by it, because I know I am. It's just wonderful to hear this. It's like the Nehemiah principle, hearing it over and over again, you know. It is a blessing indeed. So anyway, it looks like we're out of time for this portion of the broadcast. Please stay tuned for the second half of the Truth Provided broadcast, and we'll get into a little bit more about this. We'll be back in a few moments, folks.